we live or die by how we source our identity. It's interesting too because it's a lot to balance. It's a lot to balance being human, you know? It's like we got to do like the day-to-day tax stuff and then like the also like realizing like there's a part of us that comes from like eternal unchanging spirit and like we can have that orientation and like kind of what you said like experience life,
Yeah.
you know? And it's but not negate life. It's interesting those different perspectives because that can shift a lot too. And
Oh.
then when you and then because that's like kind of all I'm about is just like carving out a little bit of space to be like, whoa, what? Like, what if I'm not who I think I am?
My name is Fauna Asfaw, and after doing the backbreaking work to save and reclaim my own life, my passion now is to help others do the same. Since writing my debut book, Sober Daughter, the amount of people that wanted more inspired me to create this podcast. This space is for both real people and industry professionals to share inspiring experiences and usable tools for us all to connect and heal ourselves together. In today's episode, we'll be discussing healing and finding purpose from and through depression. Stay tuned for the end for some powerful tips and tools to take with you. Our guest today is Kyle Nicolaitis. He is a multifaceted artist, author, speaker, musician, and writer. His great hope and intention in sharing his story through his book, Thank God for Depression, was to help others find purpose, meaning, and healing through their own mental health journey. And his passion is to create peace and understanding through more grounded, connected, and centered world. So I am so happy to have you here. Hi, Kyle.
Hi, I appreciate you so much for having me. It's so good to meet you, and I've heard so many good things about you, and it's
Thanks.
good to talk to a fellow author, and congrats on your book.
Yeah, congrats. I mean, I know
Yeah.
that's a whole other level mission
Yeah.
to put that heart and soul into that and let that out there. So that's a big deal.
Yeah, celebrating both of us.
I know. I'm so happy to have you in your book. I mean, I've read some parts and I've had people talk to me about the book. And, you know, I love even the title, Thank God for Depression. It's just so like a perspective shift.
Yeah.
And I wanted, you know, everyone to be able to openly talk about depression. It's just such a taboo word, I feel like.
Yeah.
And, you know, just starting from the beginning, what did this journey look like for you? How did you even start to know and realize it wasn't just like a one-off day or here or there? How did you really know you were in this deep 10-year-long depression?
It's a good question. It's interesting because I noticed in high school something starting to get off and like my moods going down. And then it wasn't until I got to college that like I started to really notice like, like I think there's something wrong here. And there was a moment like I was getting signs where, you know, I was drinking too much and then like I wanted to be alone and like the moods would go down a lot. And there's one moment where I was in an elevator and I was with like three other people and like I literally just felt like someone turned a light switch off. And it was so interesting because like the light switch went off and I was just like boom, like light is gone. And I dropped out of college like 2 months after that, and then I put everything I had into starting a rock band and like getting signed and like getting famous. And like it was such a weird time in my life because like personally I bottomed out and I was like 18 or 19, but I felt like I was going on 95 and I was like, this life has nothing to offer me. Like I don't want to live anymore. I don't want to survive. Like, you know, show me what the next world is. And like all my writing was about that. And then at the same time, like I got a record label, I got a manager, I put a band together. Like we put our first record out. Like a year later, within 6 months or a year, we were touring and like selling shows out. And it was like the craziest, weirdest time, you know? And I remember feeling so depressed and being like, oh, maybe if I get famous in a rock band, that'll fix my depression. Or like maybe if I make money, or like maybe if I chase these external things, you know, I will feel better about myself and this hole will get filled, you know? And it's funny we know Katie because I have such a clear memory that I'll get to in a second after I took a lesson from her. But, you know, I toured for 2 or 3 years and like lived the dream, like played Conan, toured with Smashing Pumpkins, Alice in Chains, like all like played for like 40,000 people.
Wow.
And all it did was compound the depression and anxiety I already had. Like all the unhealed parts of myself, it just turned it up, you know? So now, I went from being like 18 and depressed, where like my only responsibility was to feed myself, to like having a team and band members who relied on me and decision making and like the pressure. And I had a tour diary at the time, and like, it was like playing a show in Texas, like never been more sad, like New York, like wanna die, London, like, and it was wild because, I finished that whole period and I couldn't celebrate any of it. I couldn't, enjoy any of it, and I couldn't like embrace any of it because the mental health stories and everything was telling me. So like the super short story is like I endured like I think 10 years of that with the band off and on, and then like everything fell apart. And then I was back at my parents' house. Like I went from, I want to write a story about this because like I went from like playing Conan and like touring to like flipping stuff on Craigslist because like my self-esteem was so bad that like I was like, I didn't tell anyone I was a musician. I was embarrassed about all the accomplishments I had because I felt like a fraud. So, I put my whole identity in a rock band, and like I'm a lead singer in a rock band. And then when it all fell apart, like I had nothing left. And then I really cratered, So it's interesting because you talk about like the stigma with depression, and it's like I opened up to some people on my team about depression and I was attacked for it. So I told myself, like, I'm never going to talk about depression again. I'm never talking about my mental health again because I thought if I talk about it, it means I'm weak because I couldn't fix it on my own. And if I admit that I'm depressed, there's something inherently wrong with me and fundamentally flawed. So like there's shame around that. And again, like the super kind of condensed story was like I bottomed out for 2 years and then like finally made the decision to get sober, which was the best decision I ever got. Best decision I ever made. And then, that led to therapy, which led to medication, which, led to this point. I think when I was 28 or 29, where I did my first ayahuasca ceremony. And, from that point, like I call it my dead decade from like 18 to 29, but it's probably more like 14, 15 to 29, like being super depressed. And like at that point, I counted depression as the worst thing to ever happen to me. I thought I would never get over it. Like I thought I was going to be depressed for life. I thought it was something like I just have to live with. Like it just, I thought it destroyed my life. Like I thought it destroyed my career as a rock star. It destroyed the relationships I had. Like it took everything from me. So then, a last ditch effort, I went to this ayahuasca ceremony, and in 2 nights, the plant medicine cured 10 years of depression, like overnight, basically, in an instant. And it gave me this connection with spirit and divinity that I've been longing for since I was a kid. So I start the book with that story because I woke up the next day and I was like, wait, like if depression led me to a spiritual awakening and it led me to the deepest desire that I've always wanted, which was like knowing that there's something greater out there, like knowing there's divinity out there, there's someone watching over me and us. Like if depression led me to that, how could depression ever be a bad thing? And it made me think, it made me relook my whole relationship with depression. And like that's kind of where the book came in, where I wrote that book to help alchemize the relationship people have with their depression and again change the perspective of it so it's a good thing.
It's incredible.
Yeah. That's like
I
10
mean,
years in a nutshell.
your story is just incredible. I mean, to go from playing these huge shows and Conan and all this stuff, and inside you're just miserable. And I think that's the connecting feeling that so many people can relate to with depression is it removes us from, I've experienced depression and mine came from great loss and losing my parents. And I just could not find a way out. I just
Yeah.
didn't understand also, that light, when you talked about that light just turning off, I've experienced that too. It's just like this underwater almost
Yep.
feeling. And it's you talked about, I should be able to fix this on my own. Like, I don't want to talk about it. And that's immediately where my brain went is like, well, I clearly don't know what's going on and something's wrong with me.
Yeah.
And I think that's what your book is so powerful in doing is that it's it's a symptom of, our mental health and what we're going through. And also it's leading us to like this deeper healing that we get to repair. We can repair and we can start to get through. Even for some people, it's not consistent all the time, but there are moments when we can, really do some deep healing and find some light again.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's powerful to claim. You like took the word depression and like flipped it from a negative to a positive.
Yeah, and it's funny because my favorite, I didn't think about the title until I started handing it out to people, and like some people started laughing and some people were like, "Really?" You
Yeah.
know, and it's like, and that's my approach too, because like the book is also like funny. Like I throw in like all kinds of crazy rock band stories and like psychedelic stories because, you know, like the biggest, one of the biggest missions I have with this book and with just like speaking on this is that like I didn't have resources when I was 20, or like the resources that were out there when I was 20 were not the resources I needed, you know? So it's like the books around depression were like doctors talking about it in a really clinical way, or like depressed people speaking about how bad their depression is. And it's like, it's ironically like keeping other people in their depression because they're like, "Look, I have the sadness. You can have it too. Yay. Let's go be sad together," you know? And like, I wanted to be like, yo, like the other thing about depression is that on one hand, it's mystical, and on the other hand, it's nothing special. You know, and it's like anything, and I'm more stepping into this now of like there are root, it's kind of a masculine way to look at it, but like there's root causes for everything. And like my next book is about anxiety, and like I'm literally walking that journey right now of like pulling the thread back and finding the root, you know. And I think that with depression, it's like it's not like breaking a bone where like you break a bone and you go to the hospital and they're like, "It looks like you broke your bone, let's fix it," you know. Like depression, you know something's wrong, but you have no idea how to fix it.
Right.
You feel so alone and isolated, and you feel like you're the only person who's ever felt that way. When in reality, you know, I think it's like 1 in 5 people feel that way, or some crazy stat that I just made up, but it's a lot of people. Yeah, put that in the clip. That'd be great.
It is extremely common. So, yes.
You know, what I wanted to provide to people is just, I know how devastating it can be. I know how heavy it can be, and I know how deadening it could be. And like, I want to recognize that and respect that because that's part of it. But then I also want to create a little bit of space to be like, depression's taking you on a journey, and here's a smorgasbord. And like, this is the good part about it because, you know, in my book, I tried to present all the different ways that depression could come from, you know. And like, I think the one, it's funny because, you know, when I wrote the book and put it out, I was like, "I'm not a therapist, I'm not." And I'm like, that's kind of like a benefit now because like I can look at like Eastern modality, Western modality. I can look at things that the traditional, you know, clinical practitioner couldn't look at, you know. So it's like when we realize there's something wrong, we can start to trust depression and trust that there's a message behind it and trust that there's wisdom behind it and intelligence and consciousness behind it. You know, and in that sense, it's like, okay, we work with depression because the thing about shame and judgment and self-loathing is that like that keeps us stuck and it keeps us from not taking action and moving. So like the whole thank God for depression thing, I want to flip another switch. When I was at my lowest point, I called a friend and she said, "Thank God, like thank God you feel like that." Like it was right before I got sober, right after I got sober. And all my other friends were like, this is terrible, I'm so sorry." And like she was like, "Thank God, I wish I would get cracked open more." And like that's kind of my whole thing with depression. It's like, cool, there's wisdom here, it's telling you something. And it's like now I'm here as like a piper to be like, here's all the paths you can walk down, you know. It's like your depression could be spiritual, it could literally be an issue of like avidya, which is you're spiritually ignorant of the divinity that you're made out of. And that's why plant medicine can help, because it can give you this like bigger than life experience of touching something so greater than you, you know. And it's like, oh, it could be a past life trauma, it could be ancestral trauma, you know, it could be your material life, like it could be all these things. And it's like with the broken bone, it's like, you know, you just a car hits you and now your bone's broken, you know. But like with depression, it's a little bit more obscure, but like that's for me, like that's kind of the fun in it, because you heal those things and then it's like, who are you going to be after you get those things healed? I don't know, a better version of yourself. That's what I'm hoping, you know.
A version that could only exist because you had the depression, right?
Yeah.
It's so wild. I love when we talk about the spiritual aspect of depression too, because there's so much in that of like our spirit being broken or our spirit being heavy and let down and maybe even stifled or just unexplored,
Yeah.
right? There's so much connection to that if we are of the idea that we are spirits in a human body and that we are experiencing this physical world, and this physical world can be excruciating.
Rough, rough.
Excruciating.
Yeah,
And
I know.
to think that like we might not have depression is like wild, Like, yes, we're gonna have a multitude of experiences to this physical world, and there are so many ways that we can do this deep healing around the depression. And for some people, clinical work is like CBT is incredible, cognitive behavioral therapy and talk therapy. I mean, I know for me in my depression, I had never heard of therapy when
Same,
I
same.
started on my journey. And that's part of the reason that I'm like so obsessed, and this podcast is mostly for my own joy, because I love talking about all these modalities and all these different avenues that I just didn't know existed. I mean, I didn't know you talk to a therapist and share your deepest, darkest secrets, like, and that there were like patterns within it, and it's all linking to my childhood and
Yeah,
unresolved core
right,
beliefs.
yo.
Like, what?
I know.
I had no
Yeah.
idea. And so, when we talk about it, I feel like it opens up space for so many people to get more curious and be like, am I really just this shut in, like isolated, really despair person, or am I experiencing depression? And I can start to maybe ask a little bit about how can I work with this? How can I learn more about this and heal this? And your
Yeah.
book is so needed. I'm just
Oh, you're so sweet.
so
Now,
excited that people get to do that.
what you just said resonates so much because I mean, I was like 20, I thought I was smart and I was 28 and like someone came up to me, they're like, "Have you seen a therapist?" And I'm like, "What? Like you could do that?" Like, but I mean, you're right. It's a big deal being human, and like I have a whole chapter on this about identity because we have this material world that like we can't negate, you know? It's like it's the human experience and we're dealing with like very real things like trauma and childhood wounding that like needs to be addressed, and like therapy and like all these Western modalities can like help so much with that, you know? And then it's like it's and then you it's just different orientations and different lenses to look through, you know? Because then if you, in my experience, when I put all my identity in material worlds, I was trying to get, I couldn't get enough. You know, I was like, and I talk about this of like, if we, you know, I put my entire identity in, I'm a lead singer of a rock band. So if I wrote a good song, I was like, yeah, I deserve to live. And like, if we got a tour, I was like, yes, my life matters, you know? Or like, if we got passed on for a tour, I'd be like, oh my God, like I don't deserve to be alive. Or if four people came to a show, I'd be like, you're talentless, you know? So it's like we live or die by how we source our identity, you know? And it's like, it's interesting too, because it's a lot to balance. It's a lot to balance being human, you know? It's like we got to do like the day-to-day tax stuff. And then like the also like realizing like there's a part of us that comes from like eternal, unchanging spirit. And like we can have that orientation and like kind of what you said, like experience life, you know, and it's but not negate life, you know. So it's interesting those different perspectives because that can shift a lot too. And then when you and then because that's like kind of all I'm about is just like carving out a little bit of space to be like, whoa, what? Like, what if I'm not who I think I am? Because you know, and like that was the thing with the plant medicine for me was I was like, whoa, everything I knew about everything was wrong, you know? And it's like depression thinks it's so smart and anxiety thinks it's so smart because, you know, they think they know what things are, but they don't. They have no idea. They're just the things screaming the loudest in our heads.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, it's so debilitating when you're in the middle of it, and you know, sometimes like not being able to eat
Yeah.
and being to sleep. And I think one of the myths that I love, like in my groups, you know, we do a lot of grief work, we do a lot of, you know, healing work, and it's normalizing the fact that depression can show up physically. And so when people say like they can't show up, they can't shower, they can't
Yeah.
food, they can't do all these things, it's not excuses. It's not made up. It's actually manifesting physically. And so being able to destigmatize that and know that, oh, these are symptoms of depression, not just I'm inherently a shitty person.
Yeah, right?
Right? Right?
Yeah.
Like that's the identity piece too, is like attaching to depression is like, no, I have depression, or I had it, but that doesn't make me a bad person,
Exactly.
or
There's
now
nothing wrong
some
with
kind of like,
you.
yeah, some kind of throwaway. Like, no, we all have things,
Yeah.
and that can be one of them. And there's so many ways that we can work through depression. And you know, in your book, I think you talk about so many different avenues, but in terms of where you are today, because that is a far leap from where you were, you know, what
Yeah.
do you think were some of your best kind of skills that you learned or tools that you learned that really help you be the person you are today through that depression?
I feel like I have a lot of plant medicine hippie friends who like don't like the Western stuff, and then like Western people who don't like the, and I'm like, guys, like it's all tools. It's all tools. Like
That's cool.
getting sober was the best decision I ever made because I realized I was running from my depression. I didn't want to face it. I was hiding it in all these things. I was, you know, I thought if I control my moods through alcohol, then I don't have to feel the depression. So this idea of running, which kind of goes hand in hand with stigma, because stigma is brutal because, you know, we think we don't deserve help. We think there's something wrong with us. But, and the whole brutal thing about stigma when you don't talk about it is it creates more stigma. You know, so like that's why my depression could have been 2 years, but because I didn't talk about it, it was 10 years. You know, so that's why I wrote this book because I'm like, I want my 10 years to be someone else's 2 months because of all the information in this book, you know? So like getting sober, and then I went on antidepressants for like 9 months, paired with therapy. And like that was a big move because, you know,
Let's
that
normalize
too. I
medication.
know that too. Like that's the thing. Like I've gone on medication and I've gone off it like two or three times. And it's mystical, you know, because it comes into my life, it plays a role, and then it leaves, you know? So it's like that's the thing. Like, and I write about this in my book where it's like it's no one's business if you're on antidepressants. It's no one's business, you know, because, you know, I do think that for me, pairing it with other work, like the therapy work, because what it did was it softened everything to where I could get some eyes on my thoughts, get some eyes on my beliefs, get some eyes on those patterns, you know? And then what happened was like there was a moment where I was like, the antidepressants are, I've gotten what I've gotten from them, and now I need to do something else. And then like right around that same time, like plant medicine came about. And like, if, you know, I needed a massive experience. Like I needed a huge spiritual experience to knock me out of the samskaras, the patterns I was in, to help me see things differently and help me be a different person. And like that's exactly what I got, you know. So it's like the ayahuasca came in and just literally like, I wish I had a better analogy, but it's like Neo from the Matrix, like taking the pill and then like seeing everything as it was, you know. And it's like that was a major shift for me, you know. And it's like I write about that in my book. It's like that was my medicine, but it might not be everyone else's medicine. You know, it's like not everyone has to do that. It's like you could go to a meditation retreat, a Vipassana retreat for 10 days and have that same experience of unity, of oneness, of bliss, of transcendence, you know? So I don't know if I mentioned this. I lightly touched on it, but like the plant medicine was nuts because we're, you know, in my opinion, we're dealing with this organized body of consciousness that is so wildly intelligent, it's almost like incomprehensible because, you know, in the ceremonies, you're in a room with 20 people, everyone has having their own experiences that are curated by the plant medicine, by the ayahuasca, by that spirit. And every single person in that room is getting exactly what they need, which is mind blowing when you think about it. So the medicine told me that depression was a symptom. It was a symptom of being disconnected from divinity, being disconnected from spirit. So like that realization was one of the most profound realizations I ever had, because I realized that no amount of talk therapy, no amount of other modalities would have helped me reach that. But then on the same hand, I understood that the yoga teacher training I did, getting sober, the antidepressants, the therapy, those are all steps to get there,
Cumulative, right?
Yeah, exactly. So and that's the thing about depression is I sometimes it can be like a light switch going on with the healing. It's like sometimes people do get that miracle cure, but often it's like I mean I mine was a miracle cure, but it also wasn't. It's like I also worked like a couple years on it, but it's like sometimes it can just be like I call it the all hands on deck approach, where it's like you pair action and faith and just trust and just try everything. Just try and see what happens. And it's like, okay, it didn't work. Like, don't go into despair. Like, nothing's working, because that whole argument, like, nothing's working, it's like, there's something that's going to work. Like, I guarantee you, like, there is something that will work. You just have not found it yet, and you have to keep exploring.
I love that. I love to keep exploring, because that black and white thinking is also what got us into the trouble that we're in, that, it's either good or bad, or, we're in gloom and doom, or we're just happy, and that it's not a state that we can sustain. And I love that you talked about the cumulative steps. And that they're going to be different for everyone, right? Like for me, like ayahuasca can't be a part of my journey. But for the spiritual aspect of it, I think that so many people can really shift their consciousness of, like, what is depression and what is the sadness, along with talk therapy and along with, we need medication, but that deep connection with yourself and your spirit is so not talked about in Western countries. And it of course causes a disconnect, and it causes this rift in who am I then, and what even am I if I'm alone and I feel like this? I should just fucking go, And when you start to build a practice that you're a part of and you're connected to more, there's hope, there's strength, there's grounding and love and centeredness. So I love helping people start get curious about the spiritual practice too. That's
So
like
important.
that for me blew my mind, because the talk therapy and everything like opened me up. But the spiritual dive that I've taken, my entire sobriety just deepens and deepens and deepens to, like, now everything I take is to my higher power. And
That's
everything.
amazing. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I'm feeling this way. What's the resistance? Like, what's in there? Instead of, you feel like shit, you piece of shit. Like, you know what I mean?
No, I do. Because I wrote about that too, and that's so important. I mean, again, like that resonates so much, because I did that, and I still do that sometimes. And I write about this, the book of like it's acceptance versus resistance. And it's like on a major scale, because it's like I would wake up depressed and I'd be f angry. I'd be like, what's wrong with you? Why can't you get over this? Like, are you ever gonna get over this? And then like what I call it the 7-layer shit cake, because what happens is like you wake up depressed, you wake up with one emotion, a core emotion, and then you resist it. So you start to stack anxiety and fear and panic and stress, and then all of a sudden, you take a raindrop that turned into a hurricane. And instead of dealing with these fear, the core fear of like depression, you're dealing with like panic, So all of a sudden you're having a panic attack instead of being in your body. And then the whole joke about that is like, that doesn't lead to healing. It's like when I was like that, that led me to weed and alcohol and like scrolling and like numbing out because I'm so frazzled. And then, I write about like the other options, like you wake up and you feel depressed and you get curious, kind of like what you just said. It's like, you're just like, oh, okay, I'm feeling sad. Like, what's that about? And then you can close your eyes and be like, where do I feel it in my body? What's the texture of it? What's the tone of it? And then that instantly creates spaciousness because your mind is not attacking it and judging it and labeling it and shaming yourself and doing all those other things, you know? The other benefit is then you can start to communicate with it and ask questions and be like, what do I need? You can ask your head, you can ask your heart, you can ask your gut, you can ask your guides, like what do I need? What's this trying to teach me? And like, this is a practice, you know? It's like, it's a practice. The first time I asked my heart after 20 years or whatever, my heart was like, you're really going to start listening to me now? And I'm like, I'm sorry, you know? But it's like, what I'm saying is like, you got these two different, you have the same situations with two completely different orientations, and then they both lead to different paths of action, you know? And like, it can be really hard because we're talking about, again, like grooves and patterns. You know, it's like if you've been abusing yourself for 20 years, it's going to take a little bit more time. It's like it's the same thing as getting sober. It's like it's going to take quitting cigarettes, whatever. It's going to take a little bit more time to carve space out. But then, like, and then when you're in this realm, it's just conditioning. It's literally just conditioning. It's like, okay, I wasn't as mean to myself, but like I still did this thing. Like that's a win. And it's like, let's keep taking baby steps because one day I'm going to wake up and be kind to myself, you know? And it's just bringing the unconscious to the conscious. And that's all kind of changing depression is and changing these patterns and these habits, you know?
Yeah.
So,
Oh, you said so much. You said so much.
yeah.
I mean, the patterns and the grooves, like, I didn't know before I got into this world that, the patterns make up the habits and the habits make up, the behaviors and then the identity and all of that. And if that's what causes it, then we know we can unravel it, right?
Yeah.
Like, we can start observing our thoughts and we can start challenging these old ideas and we can start practicing different actions. And it unfortunately, like, getting sunlight,
Yeah, I
taking a walk, like calling a friend, they work. And it's so annoying because when I was in depression, I did not want to hear that.
Yo.
And now my life consists of, how much of that am I doing? Because I can tell if I'm going to be sliding down or sliding, or keeping a good groove. And it's the patterns and the consistency of what,
Yeah.
keeps my vibration and my mental health higher.
That's so funny because I had the same thing. Like I was like 22 and a doctor, I was like deep in it. Like, and a doctor's like, are you watching Joel Osteen and like eating broccoli? And I'm like, what? What did you just say? Like, and I think, but she was right. Like what you just said, she was absolutely right. But I think that, and I wanted to address this in my book too, because I think that when you're dealing with something like depression, it can feel like such a behemoth on your back, or it feels like you're climbing Everest, and you're just like, you're telling me to eat broccoli right now and go in the sunlight. And it's like, yeah, I am, because it actually does make a difference, you know? But and again, it's like all hands on deck because you don't know where those things are leading you. And it's like if you can just start to change, and I'm not trying, I'm working on this with money right now because I'm like, you know, I'm like every $20 is a big deal because it's like if I save that, that's, you know, that's on its way. Like every dollar counts. And it's like same with depression. It's like every action counts. And you hit gridlock because this is like the tricky thing with depression. And I just want to keep talking about it because like the mindset of depression is like, I'm never going to come out of it. Nothing's going to work. Why should I do anything? It's all fruitless. And it's like, I'm like, no, something is going to work. Just do something small. Like, do something small and see what happens, you know? And it's like, I was talking to my friend yesterday, and for her, it was like setting up her yoga swing, like, you know? And it's just, it's hard to get inertia and it's hard to get momentum when you feel so stuck. And you, it's like a catch 22 of like, you're not going to get better unless you do something, but you don't have the energy to do anything. And like, again, I want to fully acknowledge that and respect that because I know how hard it is. So I like, and I'm not trying to come out here being some self-helpy dude being like, just go do it, you know, but it's like just baby steps, you know. It's like there's a really good example of this with Rick Rubin, where Johnny Cash, Rick Rubin, the music producer, like Johnny Cash came in after like 30 years after his prime, and he was like in his 50s or 60s, and he's like, I can't write songs anymore, like my magic's done. And Rick Rubin was like, come into the studio with one word. And Johnny Cash was like, are you joking me? Are you kidding me? And Rick Rubin's like, no, like come in with one word. And he did that like every day for a week, just came in with one word. And then like, you know, within, I don't know, months or whatever, it's like he wrote a song or wrote, you know, lyrics or stuff like that. And it's like, that's
Yeah.
Again, like depression is mystical, but also like sort of unsexy and like not
Oh
that
God,
special,
so
you know?
unsexy.
Yeah.
So unsexy. And it's like the path forward is gradual. It's gradual and it's painfully slow sometimes. But it's these tiny little efforts we make that is like, maybe I'll start looking at therapists, or maybe I'll start, getting a little bit into a yoga or a spiritual practice or something. And
Exactly.
then you turn around and you look like 6 months later and you're like, oh wow, like I kind of had more good days than I've had in the past
Yeah.
5 years. And I actually, like went to see a friend, or like we gotta celebrate the small stuff, because when I was deep in my depression, nothing was happening.
Yeah.
So to go out and meet a friend is a win.
Yeah.
To go for a walk is a win. Like
Yeah.
we have to acknowledge that, because that's what can help build momentum too. Like it's not gonna look like a movie. It just
Yeah,
doesn't.
I know. I know. And you're so right. Like, it's so important what you're saying because it's like, it's probably one, it's like it also with depression. I don't know with you, but like with me, it came with so much self-loathing and like I hate myself. And
Yeah.
like you, I played. I did so many cool things. Like someone, I did an interview with someone after all the like rock band stuff, and he's like, "Do you wake up every day and say that I made it? Like I did it?" And I'm like, "What?" I'm
No.
like, "Never in my life." And he's like listed off like the accomplishments, and I'm like, "Dog, I haven't celebrated any of that, you know?" And it's like it's because of depression, you know? And around that time that like the after I did all that cool stuff, I was at a vocal lesson with Katie and I walked out of there and I was like sitting in traffic and I never felt more like a failure. And this is after making all the money, going around the world, touring, like living the dream. Like I was and it was such a crazy feeling because, you know, I was looking around and I was like, wow, like I feel like such a failure, but I'm like, but nothing has happened. Like there's no like failure, there's no failure parade marching down the street with a banner that says Kyle, you failed, you know? And it's like it's so interesting because it's such a it's like again, it's like an inside game. But if I would have had access to like the mindsets that you just spoke on and like celebrating the small wins and celebrating those things, because it's like so important, you know, like literally to just be like, wow, I woke up today. Great. Like, you know, and it's like and again, I know how hard it is to access that when you're depressed, and it's like that's maybe medication could help because that could just lift you up, and then like that's what helped me like start feeling things again, you know? Because we haven't even talked about like emotions with depression or like karma or like all these other things, but it's just like it's a journey.
It's a
I had 10 thoughts come in once.
it.
I had 10 thoughts come in once, and I was like, stop talking.
No, never. It's so, I mean, I think that, for people that are really going through it, to hear other people that relate and to see
Yeah.
from so many different faces, for me, it was I needed to see people of color talking about this.
Yeah.
Like, when people need to see other musicians and artists talk about it. And, I just don't care, and I'm more vocal than others, but
That's cool.
go in spaces. Like, we gotta get curious and like maybe Google a support group and Google,
Yeah.
like the more you can hear other people talking about it, like normalizes it. And I think then you get a little bit more oomph to start challenging some of those deep embedded thoughts
Yep.
and the
And
work.
that's where the fun comes in. That's where the fun comes in.
Yeah. Oh God, it's a whole,
Yeah.
we have to do we're gonna do a part two, because
Okay, cool.
no, we're gonna need to dig into karma, and we're gonna need to dig into transmutation and
Yeah, alchemy, all that
all
fun stuff.
that fun stuff. So before we go though, I wanna know, your life is big now, and you have all these different avenues of ways that you show up. Like, you're multifaceted. You have art, you have music, you have books, you have speaking, and all this. What do you think is your favorite way to ground yourself and really help yourself show up for all that?
Like Epsom salt bath with lavender oil.
Yes.
Like I do that embarrassingly a lot. I think it might be every day because like I'm also like so sensitive
Yeah.
and it, you know, I still get ungrounded and I still get triggered and I'm in like deep spiritual work and deep practice, like meditation practice every day. It's like bringing stuff up all the time. And it's like, you know, I just light a candle and let the salt do the work, you know? And
It's
like, there's always a moment, there's a moment where I feel things lift and I'm like, you can face the world now. Let's go.
so
Like,
it extracts, salt extracts. It's a
it's,
really powerful tool.
I had, talk about depression. Like, I had one of the worst summers of my life this year because like stuff was coming up. Like, I was moving like major trauma stuff, but like
Yeah.
it was also, we were living in a place with no bathtub, and I'm like,
Oh no, we didn't have
I'm like, if there was a bathtub, it would have been a completely different story. So
I love it. I love it so much. That's a powerful one, though. It truly is, especially if you work in any kind of healing capacity.
yeah, you know,
We gotta.
cleanse.
Yeah. Well, oh my God, I want to thank you
Yeah, I
so much.
appreciate you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for just being a part of the talk and destigmatizing depression, mental health. You know, as we talk about a lot, secrets can keep us sick. And
Yeah, it's
the
true.
more we talk, the more we create safe spaces, we heal together. And
Yeah.
I'm just so grateful for you being here with
You're
us.
such a badass. You're such a badass and you're so inspiring. And
Thank you.
I mean that. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, I'm
Yeah.
happy to have you, and we're gonna have to do a part two.
Yeah, anytime, hit me up. I'm around.
Is there any way people can find you? Do you want to let us know your socials?
It's Kyle Nicolai's Instagram.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks everyone for joining us on today's episode of Sober Daughter Podcast. And check back next week to make sure you are with us for another exciting, inspiring guest giving us usable tools for us all to heal together. And if you want to connect with us on Sober Daughter, follow us on Instagram at Sober Daughter Podcast. And for me at Fauna Aspaw, you can send us questions, follow me with what I'm doing, and always remember to keep doing the good work.